my way every day with love. Amen.
Oh. Rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Only if there's sheaves to bring forth. That's why we need to work hard to have a good harvest. Then we shall come rejoicing.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning once again for another week gone by. We've seen you keeping and protecting, watching over us in everything that we did. You have been with us even when we were not aware of the danger around us. You have rescued us, O Lord, granting us traveling mercies once again to be into your house, to fellowship with your people. Bless each and every one of us, O Lord. Bless the visitors in our midst, Heavenly Father. There's no visitors in the house of God, and we commit each and every one of us into your hand. We came with our petitions. We'll go rejoicing, O Lord, because you are an answering God.
Amen.
Bless now the preaching of the word, bless the singing, bless the worship, bless
Amen.
The offering. Anything that will be done here, let it be for your glory and for our salvation.
Amen.
We commit everything into your hands as we open your word to read it for your people in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Let's open our Bibles. Genesis chapter 24, verse 1 to 4. Genesis 24, 1 to 4. God bless you, saints. Thank you for coming this morning. Brother Orel and our friend, God bless you. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Brother Jivko from Croatia, God richly bless you. I heard Brother Jivko is here for work. And God richly bless you. You are welcome in our midst. Amen. So let's read 1 to 4. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his elder servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hands under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord of the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. So today we are heading to the end of our series on the law of reproduction.
Amen.
So today we are going to talk about the harvest time.
Amen.
Amen. That's why we sang that song. Because we need to look now. We have planted, we have made sure that everything has been put correctly and under the right atmosphere. We have provided food and nutrients and vitamins to our seed. We have made sure that we are, you know, taking the full word of God without compromising. We are eating, you know, the menu as it was provided by God without selecting and putting aside anything else, but just taking it, you know, in its fullness that it was sent by the master cook. And now we are sure that we are well prepared. Our crop has grown to maturity, or is growing to maturity now, as long as we keep all these laws of reproduction, the law of nature, and the seed word of God, which is in us, has been so well looked after that we are looking forward now to the harvest. Today we are just going to introduce the harvest time. We see that in the reading we have read there, Abraham saw that his son needed a wife. And God, in his provision, in his wisdom, he was preparing already a wife somewhere for Isaac. Amen. And that wife was under a certain ministry. That wife was under a certain leadership. In other words, the seed has been sown. The seed has been looked after. The seed has been put under the right, the correct atmosphere. And the seed has grown to a certain maturity. And it was not now harvest time for the seed. Amen. It was now harvest time for the bride, for Rebecca, where she was. It was now time for her to be harvested, taken home. And for that harvesting, God now was making provision for the harvest. God has, you know, Abraham was now making provision for the bride to be collected home, to be taken and brought into the house to reign, to be the bride beside the groom. Now, Abraham had to make sure that that seed that has been sown, well looked after, hardly, you know, looked after, it's not on the harvest time that you have to spoil the job you have done all the season along. So to make sure that that seed that has been well looked after was brought correctly, safely home, it was very important that Abraham select the best tools. It was important that he select the best workers to go for the harvest. That's why us, as his bride, God is making sure that after the seed has been sown, amen, after he has done the job all over the edges, after, you know, everything has been put correctly and the seed is now ready to be taken home, God is making sure that he selects the best, amen, of his handyman, amen, to go and do the harvest. You know, even in the natural, you don't send anyone to go to do the harvest. Because after all the hard job you have done, there's some kind of seed that you need some method. There's some kind of crops. You need to do it methodically. Otherwise, you're going to corrupt the rest of the crops. So that's why Abraham wanted to make sure that the person he sends is the right person fit for the job. Otherwise, he's going to corrupt the whole job. Otherwise, in his way back, maybe he can go and bring, but he won't store it correctly, and it will not be the result that Abraham was expecting. So we see in verse 1, he says, in verse 2, and Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hands under my thigh. So Abraham didn't select any of his servants. He selected the most trustworthy of his servants. He selected the one he found that he was the most faithful of his servants. He said the eldest servant of his house. Remember, Eliezer was not anyone in the house of Abraham. Eliezer was almost a son to Abraham. Amen. Amen. Eliezer was almost a son to Abraham. There was conditions to be met, to be fulfilled. Because this person of Eliezer was a very key element, amen, in collecting, in picking the bride and taking her home. So it shouldn't be anyhow. Abraham selected someone who was almost a son to himself. Why? Because, first of all, we see Eliezer was born in the house of Abraham. I don't know if we can read it. Genesis 15, 2-3. He was almost a son to Abraham. And Abraham said, let's start from verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Amen. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Amen. Eliezer was one of those servants that was born in the house of Abraham. Amen. And before Isaac was born, Eliezer was, you know, that was in Abraham's plans. Eliezer was the one who was going to become his heir. Eliezer was not anyhow. To Abraham, Eliezer was like his own seed. When it was about to consider who was going to succeed him, Abraham was seeing Eliezer. As long as he didn't have any child of his own, Eliezer, who was born in his house, was to become his heir. So it was not anyone that Abraham selected to go, because he knew that person has to be, you know, a person that I trust, even blindly. Amen. Amen. What was another characteristic of Eliezer? He said he was a heir before Isaac was born. And Eliezer had kind of an experience with Abraham. He went almost into everything Abraham went through. He saw people coming and going. He saw Lot. Amen. You know, all the strives, everything that was evolved around Abraham. Amen. Eliezer was there. He saw it. He witnessed it. Amen. It was not a servant that was tossed about any kind of way. When a revival came, when Lot's revival came, when people were leaving Abraham, going towards Sodom where life was better and everything, Eliezer was not influenced by all these movements. He remained faithful to Abraham. He could have easily followed Lot, but he stayed with Abraham. And anything that Abraham went through, whether a happy or a sad event, Eliezer was there. When Eliezer learned, when Abraham learned that, heard that Lot has been kept, taken captive, and when Abraham went to rescue Lot, let's read it. Eliezer was with him. Amen. Amen. Genesis 14 to 15. And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servant, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided them against, and he and his servant by night, and so forth. He took his best trained servant, and I don't believe among those 380 men, he could take everyone except Eliezer. Mm-hmm. Amen. Because he was the eldest. He was like a captain in his house. Mm-hmm. He was one of those people, the closest people into Abraham's inner circle. Eliezer was always there. He went there. They fought. They won. And they brought Lot back. So anywhere Abraham went, Eliezer was always there. He was there to, you know, to help Abraham, to be a kind of an assistant to Abraham. Not only there, we find Eliezer somewhere again when Abraham went to offer Isaac. Even in the saddest moments of Abraham's life, he was there.
Amen.
Amen. That's why he was a trustworthy servant. Because, let's read it. The Bible doesn't say Eliezer there. Genesis 22:3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him. Remember, this time, Isaac was just still a young man. Amen. Eliezer was not an old man yet. So he was born into Abraham's house. And Abraham took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. They say he took two of his servants. Amen. The Jewish tradition, they believe that these two servants were Eliezer and Ishmael. Amen. And it was, you know, I'm not here to preach a Jewish tradition, but when you just see the background behind Abraham and Eliezer, you can really understand that in situation, in circumstances like this, when Abraham was going through the strongest of his trials, the biggest of his trials, Eliezer couldn't be far. He was the assistant who was always there with Abraham. That's why when it came time now for Abraham to go and to send someone for the harvest time, Eliezer was that person of critical missions. Because whenever Abraham had a critical mission, the person who in whom he trusted most was Eliezer. Amen. Because Abraham saw that Eliezer had the correct character. After all these years he spent with Abraham, amongst all the servants that Abraham had, he saw that this is the person with the correct character to go for the harvest time, to go and get a wife for my son. Amen. Now listen to what the prophet says. As I said, we are just going to introduce today. The time of decision. And we learn in here a beautiful lesson of Abraham. A type of God the Father hunting for a servant to go and find a bride for his son. That's what the Father is doing today. He is looking over his group to see someone that he can put trust in, that will take the message that he sends to the bride.
Amen.
We are talking about Eliezer. Amen. We are talking about that servant that will go for the harvest time. And he decided that Eliezer was the selected one because he had found in Eliezer a trustworthy servant. He had been loyal and true and upright and just and honest. You see what it takes to be that messenger that God will send.
Amen.
To go and get the bride.
Amen.
Amen. That's why you, the bride, you, Rebecca, when God sent that trustworthy, that messenger in whom he had such a great confidence, we will see our responsibility. Because it's not any servant that God sends. God sent one of his best captains.
Amen.
Amen. God sent one of his best in his army, in his economy, to come and do the job, to come for the harvest time. And we will see as we go our responsibility because we have received the best. Amen. He says, because he has found Elijah trustworthy servant, he had been loyal and true and upright and just and honest. That's the kind of a servant that God can pick to take a message from him to the church as one that has been proven to be just. Amen. Amen. So, we are just laying a foundation about that Elijah today. That commission of finding a bride. That commission of going out there, that the crop that is reaching maturity. That servant of God, who will come? Who is he? What is the character? What is the characteristic he has to have? And when we know that it is him, then we'll see our responsibility as the crop. One day, in the sermon, Ashamed 65, Brother Branham was thinking about his life. He was thinking about things he did. He was thinking about when he was working in that public service company. And there was just something, you know, he was a bit worried about things he did in the past. And he wanted to see exactly, is he really in the will of God? Is he really doing the, you know, what God is expecting for him? Is he in his position, in his calling? Sometimes he'll dream just as the time he was still working in that gas and electricity company. He did things that he was not really happy about. And he was seeking, asking God, have I been in my position? Have I done the correct thing? And he started asking God to give him a scripture. He was saying, God, just show me something that I know that I'm in my position. He said, let's make it right. Now, don't wait after a while. It may be too late. Let's do it now. Okay. That's when, if I done something wrong to them or any other person, I done something wrong to you, oh God, I want to make it right. Amen. And I said, surely there is something in the word of God from Genesis to Revelation that some character in there that you dealt with would be on the same basis that would be my question. If somebody done something and you got after him after about it, then let me turn to that place in the Bible. And if somebody, whatever they done, it will lean my way. Where I've done wrong or something you want me to do or haven't done, let me see some character in the Bible like that. He's praying God. God, show me. I want to see something. You know, I want to make sure that I'm doing your will. I'm in my position. If I've done something wrong, show me in the Bible someone, some character which leans toward what you have called me for. I want to see it in the Bible. And I closed my eyes. Just let the Bible fall open like this. He just went there and amen. And let the Bible fall open. Put my finger on a scripture. Genesis 24:7. Eliezer, Abraham's faithful servant, the model servant of the Bible, being sent to hunt the bride for Isaac. Amen. Amen. We see the calling of today. We see today's ministry. He says, chills run over me. Sure, that's right with the rest of my message. Pulling out the bride. Amen. Amen. We see the great commission today. Elijah's ministry, calling out of the bride. He said, just as a perfect message, back to the word, amen. Go get that bride. That's a duty. That's what I'm here for. That's what I'm trying to do, is call out a bride. In the same sermon, Ashamed, And as the little experience I had with you the other morning, it's a prayer. Go get my son a bride. Take it from among the people, among the churches. Pull out that bride. Let me in prayer now, Lord. You send the Rebecca. I'll try to be the Eliza. Help me to be a faithful servant. And may the God of heaven send his angel before me, before us, that we will collect the things together and select the bride that he has chosen. Amen. So this is a foundation we have laid for the harvest time. We are going to talk about the harvest time. But before we went into in that harvest, we need to know who God has provisioned for us. What God has, what kind of servant God has sent. God has sent one of his most faithful, one of his best captains to come and do the job. And we have, you know, we have received, you know, the one of the best gifts that God had in his economy. So it's now our responsibility to know how, what attitude we will take toward that ministry God has provided for us. Amen. So from next time, hopefully next week, God willing, we'll start now to see this ministry, the harvest time, what you have done so far. You have done very well. We have done very well, believing the message, getting the seed into the ground, getting the seed to grow, getting the seed to be looked after, believing after the ministries, believing after God's servants. But now it's harvest time. And in this harvest time, we have a greater responsibility now. Because all the job, all the sacrifices that we have done, it shouldn't go in vain. So let's believe the word of God, and may God grant us enough time to go further into these things. Lord, we thank you. We believe that you have been with us today, and we believe that you have made provisions for the days to come. Speak to our hearts even more than we have heard, O Lord, in the closes, in the secret of our closet. Speak to us, reveal many more things to us, O Lord, because we as humans, we can just do inside the limits of our abilities, but you are the one we can do above what we can do, O Lord. Bless your people. Take now control of the rest of the service as we commit it into your hands, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.